Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime! Another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 109 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. We are back, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again, the five-minute photographer himself, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
My name keeps changing with every podcast.
It does.
All I can say to you, Bruce Williams, is welcome back. Yeah, mate, nice to have you back, old man. That's right.
Thank you, mate.
Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. Yeah. There we go. Two old guys singing a song from a 70s sitcom.
Yeah.
There you go. This is the way we return to Shutters Inc. Well, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
How'd you go in the States?
Mate, I had an absolute ball, but it was 1 week too long. I really missed Kath and Max, and they really missed me. And I said to the guys at Linda in the third week, I said, "Yeah, never again. It's just a bridge too far. You know, 2 weeks is doable, but the third week it really starts to weigh on you a lot." And I mean, it was a very successful trip. You know, we got done what we wanted to do, although we did have to pull the pin on one of the training titles that I was supposed to shoot because we ran into some technical difficulties. But the two that I got done, you know, turned out great. And the week out at Vegas for the NAB trade show was just awesome.
Yeah.
I was just so in my element.
Now, NAB is an acronym for
the National Association of Broadcasters.
Right.
Which essentially the NAB trade show is the largest pro audio, video, and broadcast trade show in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually looked it up. You can probably find it on the website, but the Las Vegas Convention Center is made up of three halls, and there is a north hall, a central hall, and a south hall, and the south hall is two floors.
Right.
Now, I haven't looked up the actual size on their website, but I'd take a punt and say that each of these halls is probably 100 meters wide by about 300 meters long.
Wow.
Right, so you're talking about 30,000 square meters per hall, and there's four of those halls. So that's about 120,000 square meters of floor space.
That's a lot of floor space.
And the entire convention center was packed with booths for everybody who has anything to do with the electronic media, you know, from radio to TV, software companies, you know, just web development companies who do, you know, load distribution hardware and software. Bell Helicopter was there. You could buy your helicopters for your news crews. You could buy satellite dishes for receiving, you know, content from satellites. And, it was just amazing.
Wow.
For somebody who's in the industry, it was just like total geek out for 4 days. It was just awesome.
You had too much fun, Mr. Williams. I did. I can tell it in the tone of your voice.
I did, yeah, man. I had a ball.
Good on you.
And seriously, it took me three of the 4 days just to get through all of that floor space in a you know, almost a jog, to actually see everything that was there and see where things were placed, so that on the fourth day I could sort of go, well, these are the things I really want to go back and have a look at.
Yeah.
It was just that full on, and so much to see and do, and, you know, it was great to catch up with the guys from Adobe and, you know, hang out with the guys from Linda. I spent some time working on the booth. I got to meet Andrew Daryl Gungadoo, one of our longtime listeners.
Yeah,
He was there. Yeah, he was
there. What was he doing there?
Well, you see, Andrew has been a longtime fan of basically all the podcasts that I've produced. He started as a listener to Building the Pod.
But he's a photographer at heart.
Well, yes, but what he does for a living is work with Adventist World Radio.
Yes.
And he manages a network of radio stations in third world countries, and he primarily uses Adobe Audition, hence why he started listening to Building the Pod.
Right.
And so he came by, you know, he told me in advance, I'm going to be coming by the Linda booth because I want to talk to them about getting a bulk purchase of your training that we can then, you know, spread around the network of radio stations that I'm managing to yes. help these guys in third world countries to get, you know, training on audition so that they can learn how to use it better and produce better content mm-hmm. in their part of the world. So,
yep.
Yeah, so he came by, and it was great because I'd been watching his Facebook page.
Yes.
And he'd been posting photographs of, you know, the stuff that he'd been seeing in the days leading up to it. And so I'd seen a photo of him, so I knew what he looked like.
And there he
was. And, of course, you know, I'm standing there on the Linda booth and just chatting away to some, you know, somebody who'd come up to have a look. And then I turn around, and there's Andrew. And, like, I immediately recognized him. I was like, man, how are you? You know, it was really cool.
The internet's a wonderful thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It was like we were old friends reunited, yeah. You know, even though we'd never met before. So
I feel that way, I must admit. You know, there are members of our Shutters Inc. fraternity with whom I feel, you know, like if I saw them, there wouldn't be any catching up to do. I've only ever sort of communicated by email or through the podcast
yep.
or whatever, and you think, well, you know, if I was to meet them, it wouldn't be a strange thing. It would
no.
be like old friends, you know. While you were away, I have photographed with Richard Annable, who we all know started up the Shutters Inc.
Yes.
group, and I think he named the...
On Flickr, yep.
Yeah.
And the Shutters Crap Crap Giggle Giggle, yep.
Yes, he gave it that title and of course, made the T-shirt available on Redbubble. He's yep. designing a new one, apparently. But anyway,
okay.
he and I caught up at a wedding, and, you know, there was basically, we shook hands, and that was about it. You know,
right.
we just fell right into knowing each other.
Yep.
Through, you know, so much correspondence. And I tell you what, I don't know that I've ever had a better wedding assistant in my life than Richard. Richard is
wow.
just fantastic. Both he and, say, Greg Bayer, who has since become a successful photographer in his own right,
yeah.
and who has also since worked with Richard, you know, both of them were possibly the best wedding photographer assistants I've ever had.
Cool.
Look, if you're listening to this and you want to be a wedding photographer's assistant or a photographer's assistant, follow Richard's basic, you know, Richard's pattern in that understand that what you're there to do and what you're there to receive is training and some of the secrets of the trade that you don't find out unless you actually see a photographer work, and don't be there with just your camera getting from it what you can for your own portfolio. Richard
right.
is brilliant that way. On the first wedding that he came on, I said, Richard, aren't you taking any pictures? Because he was so busy getting my tripod and holding my reflector and
yeah.
getting me a lens out of my gadget bag
doing
and stuff
what
like
a photographic
that.
Assistant ought to be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, he said, oh, can I? I said, yeah, mate. You know, I'm not going to have you run around for me the whole time. Get some pictures. And he was stoked. And since then, you know, he knows the balance. And he's great because he can often read my mind. He'll have the lens in his hand before I've even asked for it.
Cool.
You know, he knows where to stand when I make him hold the flash boy. You know, or I heard a term today for the person who holds your flash off camera. Vals, VALS. He's a voice-activated light stand.
Nice.
Richard, yeah, I like that. Voice-activated light stand. And just go over there, yeah, a little round to your right. That's it. Good, mate. You know, he's fantastic that way. And Richard, if you're listening, and I know you will be, you're the best VALS mate I've ever had. And
cool.
don't you worry about it if I get the best man to hold the flash every now and again. It's just so that he can feel good like you. But yeah, and it's the great thing about this. You know, it's been, you know, wonderful. And a lot of these old friends have come down to 5 Minute Photographer and joined up.
Cool.
Like Heather, Richard, Walt,
yep.
You know, and probably a few others. Sorry, I've forgotten the names, but
yep.
I know them so well through Shutters Inc. Even as you do, Daryl.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Daryl. Mm-hmm. And Andrew. I don't know what.
Yeah,
it's
he
kind of
goes with both. So
he goes with the three names.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just so long. but you get to know these people, and it really is great. Well, you know, Richard and I have sort of become, you know, we text each other and mail each other and harangue each other all the time.
Excellent.
And it's a wonderful thing.
Well,
so
while we're on that subject,
yeah,
he sent me an email, which
who
I
did
Richard. Yep.
Yeah. So now, I okay. The one this. Thing, the one thing we are not to talk about is Vietnam.
Well, we'll see about that.
We are not to talk about Vietnam. Sorry, if Richard sent you a little email that contained anything about Vietnam, it is not Richard's to be mentioned. Email. This was said while we were driving on a wedding. So, and that, you know, I'm sorry, I will be drawing the line there, Mr. Williams.
Hey, Bruce, a quick email before you and Shelton start recording this morning. I've now assisted Shelton on 4 weddings, each one different from the one before. Listening back to the wedding series, Shelton is a man of his word. It was great watching him carrying out all the advice he handed out to us. His personality is perfect for weddings, and I've seen him calm down nervous brides. Having spent many an hour in the car with him, I also began to learn more about the man himself. He is a man of many tales. If you want to giggle, mention the following on the show. He's probably expecting this. The international wedding of Barry and Heidi. More accents right. than a French dictionary.
Yes.
Roger the photogenic groom. Mm-hmm. And size issues with Vietnamese purchases, quote unquote.
Right.
Don't pre-warn him of the email. He knows I'm writing to you, but he doesn't know what. Can't wait to hear the show again, Richard. So, fill us in.
Well, let me see. What's the first one he mentions?
Barry and Heidi's
wedding?
That's right, yeah.
Barry and Heidi's wedding was the first one that we did together. Barry McInerney and Heidi. Look, that was just a fun wedding. Yeah, Barry and Heidi. Barry would be probably a man about my age.
Right.
Mid-40s. I turned 45 while you were away.
Yep. Congratulations.
yeah. You know, just another year older and deeper in debt, as the old song says, you know. Barry's about my age, and he's got that Irish accent. He talks like that, right. You know, and the whole day, or not shouting. What? Can you come over here and take this picture? You know, and it's like that. So all day. And the thing is, the problem is when I'm next to an accent like that, I immediately begin to channel it.
Oh no.
Yeah. So you know, I'm saying, Barry, will you come over here? You know, and Heidi, you know, come over here, stand here, and I kiss the two of you, will you? You know. And so yeah, we had more giggles and more accents than a French dictionary, as he said. yes, that was true. But you know, again, Richard was terrific on that, and he was, you know, a great assistant. But he, you know, as he says, you know, it's nice that he speaks of me in those terms. But I suppose the interesting thing from his perspective was seeing the person who he's heard run a wedding in an audio way. He's actually now seen, you know, on different weddings and different kinds of styles, in a visual way or a personal way. He's been right there physically, and it's nice of him to mention that. And I suppose he's actually seen a little bit more than what I've been able to describe in terms of personality or how you, as he said, calm down a bride or all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I know it's been an interesting thing from him. He said something very nice to me on the way home from a wedding the other day. We're both wrung out, tired men, you know, coming home, and I thanked him for his assistance. And he says, I know you think you're getting something out of this, basically to this effect, to that, you know, and he said, but to be honest with you, you're not getting half as much as I am.
Yeah.
And that was very nice of him to say, because he, you know, he has said that he's learned a lot from being there. And the three, four weddings that we've done together have been fantastic. Really
awesome.
Good. Awesome. So what's the second one?
Roger, the photogenic groom.
Roger, the photogenic groom. Okay, yes. Oh, Richard, I'm going to get you. Roger, we did a wedding together, and Roger and his fiancée, his wife, became wife on the day. Roger particularly was very photo conscious. He actually had set up his day so that he and his wife would be photographed before the ceremony. They wanted to have this huge in the city photo session, then have a bit of a break, and then go up and get married. And you know, so it was a bit long day, and I was so thankful Richard was there. But it turned out that what happened was his fiancée stroke bride, Adriana, was a very photogenic lady.
Right.
You know, she would just have this, she had this way of just standing and being in a photograph that you very rarely experience for someone who isn't a model.
Right.
And we would set up, you know, I'd set up a photograph of her. And my way, as I've even said in the podcast, is maximize your opportunities. You know, you set up one person, bang, bang, and then you add the second so that you've got photos of the bride on her own and then you add the groom. Because the bride often, you know, is a little more photo conscious or, you know, you've got more reason to photograph her. But you always try and equal it out so that when the groom comes in, you've got as many photographs as you, you know, of the two of them together as you did of the bride on her own. The problem is that Roger was not particularly photogenic.
Right.
And was a little bit awkward. He was shorter than her. He was awkward and stiff and not as, you know, as photogenic. So Richard, and I didn't even notice I was doing it until Richard pointed it out to me in laughter in the car.
Right.
He said, I noticed what you were doing. You'd set up Adriana and go, oh, that's great, Adriana. Bang. Okay, now, yep, now look around to your right. Bang. Okay, that's great. Bang. Okay, and I'm just going to move over here. Yep, great. Fantastic. Bang. Bang. Oh, Roger, we'll get you in the shot. Oh, that's great. Bang. And that was it. So right. He said, you took about 10 photos of Adriana and one of poor old Roger, you know.
Oh, really?
I mean, we got enough of them, you know. I think it may be exaggerating. But, yeah, the Richard found himself doing exactly the same thing, you know.
Right.
We had to stop being photographers and actually start remembering that we're there to cover the both of them. This is both their wedding.
You know? It's not just shoot the hottie, are we?
That's right, yeah. The thing is, look, photogenic, I mean, Adriana's an attractive woman, but she's, I wouldn't say she's, you know, a hottie,
oh,
but
okay.
She's an attractive woman. She's right. Just a photogenic, you know. You
yeah.
can put some person,
yeah.
you can, sometimes just people are photogenic. I yeah. know I've interviewed beautiful young girls and think, man, you're going to be fantastic on your wedding. You're so gorgeous.
Mm.
You know, I think this to myself. And then on the day, they're difficult and, you know, stressed and stiff. And
oh, okay, you know, yeah, I'm with you.
But, yep. you know, but you can get a very average-looking human being, male or female, someone not particularly striking in appearance. And
right.
yet, in a photograph, they just come alive.
Right.
And I've encountered that many times. Well, Adriana, an attractive woman, but, you know, by no means, you know, a supermodel or anything like that, just
okay.
an attractive woman. But she could stand in a photograph. She
right.
knew how to lean against a wall and just form her body and her face in such a way that it just, she flowed. And it was
right.
just a wonderful thing. Roger was, I suppose, the very antithesis of that. And I hope the Rotten they're not listening, because Roger, if you are listening, and you know, I do love you, mate. You know, and thanks for the honor it was to shoot your wedding. But if you notice, there will be more photos of your bride than there will be of the two of you. But that was a giggle, and Roger had the wickedest sense of humor.
Did he?
Wicked in the absolute sense. Oh
man, right.
we had, it was, you know, it was so blue. Sometimes I felt like getting out of a Fender Strat.
Right.
You know, oh, man. But, you know, enough of that. This is a wedding. You know,
yeah.
come on, folks. Bit of decorum.
Yeah.
But funny. Yes. So, and what was the third one?
The Vietnamese purchases.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Richard. All I can say is if you go to Vietnam, bring your own.
Right. Okay.
Otherwise, you'll find it a very squeezy experience.
Right.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Right, okay.
Okay.
We'll leave that to the imagination.
They make them smaller over there
right.
than they do over here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. Oh, dear, oh dear.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, mate, yeah, mm-hmm. Richard, thank you for the email, because it's
yeah.
given us at least 10 minutes of laughs.
But you know what? I haven't now. I'm very disappointed in all our Shutters Inc. Well, if you, not all, but, you know, the majority of our Shutters Inc. fraternity, I haven't had an email in, the weeks that you've been away. I don't.
Is that right?
I don't know. I have not.
Not the kingpin you thought you were.
Look, I'll tell you what. This is the fickle nature of fame. Because, you know, I've had, you know, the loyal ones, the
yeah.
loyal listeners who, you know, who've been grateful for these 2 years of free podcasts.
Yeah.
Come on down to 5 Minute Photographer. This is my guilt trip, folks. Okay, if you're listening, this is my guilt trip. The loyal listeners who've come on down and thought, well, $29.95 isn't too much to pay to have Summer Shelton, you know?
Yep.
And so they've come on down and joined us at 5minutephotographer.com.
Mm-hmm.
I've had lots of correspondence with them, but, you know, otherwise, no, I'm missing all you guys. So where are you? That's all I can say.
Well,
you know, Bruce goes away for a few weeks and I hear nothing.
I must say, I was very flattered to see, you know, some emails that came in to me personally and one or two mentions on the Shutters Inc. Flickr group of people saying, you know, cannot wait for Shutters Inc. to resume, you know, who said they were missing it. So, you know, thank you to everybody who expressed those sentiments, either directly to me or via the Flickr group. You know, I was very touched by that. So
Oh, it is nice. And it's nice to be wanted. So we're back.
Yeah,
we're back.
Absolutely. With nothing to talk about.
No. I've got a couple of things. Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, at the end of May in Australia, in Brisbane, we have our annual photography expo.
Right.
So make sure that if you are in Queensland or you're a Brisbane listener or a Queensland listener, look, I don't care where you are in Australia. This once a year expo. It's the Australian, you know, photography industry expo.
What are they called? Is it the PMAA?
It's the photographic and imaging. I'm a major figure at the thing, and I don't even know what the damn thing's called. The Photographic Imaging Council of Australia hold this, and it's the PMA meet right there, PICA meet there. All the photographic, you know, fraternities basically get together. The Australian Institute of Professional Photography has its annual judging there, where they judge Wedding Photographer of the Year, Commercial Photographer of the Year, and then Photographer of the Year, and all these various things. So if you're a photographer in Australia and you've got, you know, 2-3 days spare at the end of May and early June, that last weekend in May, just come, because there's going to be all the latest technology in the industry. There's going to be lectures. I will be speaking a few times to the little imaging theater there and presenting photography tips and hints. I'm also speaking for the PMA, the Photo Marketing Association there. So if you are around, we have a stand. Total Image Magazine has a stand. If I'm there, I'd love to meet you. Come and shake my hand and say good day, and we can have a bit of a yak. But by all means, get to the expo, because it is a fantastic thing to be at. And if you really want to just, you know, pick up a bit of inspiration, just walk around, look at the photographs, meet photographers, you know, bend our ears. It's just the place to be. So that's the one thing I'd suggest for anybody in Queensland particularly who's listening, and anybody in Brisbane particularly who's listening. Make sure you're there. But if you can, just fly across.
So has it been 2 years since I came to the one in Sydney where I caught up with you?
Yes, it would be.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't believe that. Wow.
Yeah. There was one here last year in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And, yes, it's supposed to go Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane.
Oh, here, okay.
In alternating years. But this year, it was...
supposed to be Sydney,
Melbourne,
but straight
it was supposed
to Brisbane.
Be Sydney. But there was no venues available in Sydney, so it's had to go to Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
Which is unusual. Yeah, sort of breaks the pattern a little bit.
Yeah.
So definitely come and say hello there. And if you want to come and hear me speak in person, I'll be speaking on Saturday afternoon and Sunday all day at various times during the day. But I'd love to just meet you anyway if you're a listener.
Yep.
Come on down and you know, just look out for me. I'll be the guy in the cool new hat. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you like my new hat, Bruce?
Yes, I do like the new hat, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, a hat covers up a multitude of sins. So
Richard Annable looks better in it, though.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. See, that mongrel's got hair, so, you know, he should just leave me my hat. You know, I mean, I didn't suggest he put a paper bag over his face, did I? You know, so this is the relationship Mr. Annable and I have now.
Excellent.
You know? We're good friends. And the Australian way is, if you want to make friends with anybody, the first thing you do is just to start teasing them, stirring them, and
give them a hard time. Yeah.
And then mate, we're friends. We are friends for life.
When I was it's slightly related to that. When I was at Linda for the third week, the video title that we were shooting in the third week was actually a live action title, so I was on camera quite a lot. And so for the shooting of that, I dressed up. I was in, you know, suit, pants, nice business shirt, and a silk tie. And one of the author relations managers, a guy called Jeff, he saw me on the first day of the shoot, and he said, "Gee, I didn't think you was his own ties." And I said to him, "No, mate, it's normally just for court appearances." And he thought that was the funniest thing ever. And then I said to him, just for those Saturday nights that go, you know, horribly wrong.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. We're not a particularly formal culture. I was at a funeral this morning, and in all seriousness, I was surprised that, you know, people don't own suits in this country. I wouldn't dream of going to anything like that unless I was in a suit and tie. And I don't know whether it's just people don't know or they just don't own them. But, you know, a clean pair of jeans and a clean pair of jeans and a clean windcheater, and that was their funeral attire.
Wow.
That's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's another story altogether.
Maybe it's just changing attitudes with time.
Perhaps. I don't like it.
No.
It's not respectful, if you ask me. Maybe I'm old school, but, you know, clothes do have something to do with a level of respect. But, I mean, a suit's $100 for Pete's sake, you know. It's no big deal.
And it's not like we're in the middle of summer either.
No, it's flaming cold down here at the moment, I tell you, you know. So, no, but anyway, that's another story. But what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah, I have come across through a friend of mine an interesting website that will help you if you have a Flash-based website. I find that updating my website has been very difficult because I've had to open the XML file, alter it and edit it and make sure that the names that I've typed in have to correspond letter perfect to the names of my images.
Yep.
And then I have to do the same in the thumbnail gallery, etc., etc. And it's lengthy and difficult.
It's a time-consuming process.
If you go to slideshowpro.net and you sign up with them, Here's a website that basically asks you if it can access yours, and then you edit your website through a series of drag and drop, you know, basically drag and drop into the directory. It sizes it for you, fixes the XML file, puts it all in, and off you go. It's really a great thing. I think it's like $45 a year to join, but the time you'll save updating your website, and that's something that I seriously have to do.
Yep.
I should really update mine all the time, but like I said, it's so lengthy a process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doing my blog and doing my Flickr site and now doing 5-Minute Photographer, I'm always updating things. I'm always, you know, on 5-Minute Photographer, I'm always keeping the forum, you know, active. And it's a great forum, gang, really. If you want a good photography forum that is without flaming, without insults, without spamming, you know, I can only suggest you come on down and join us there. And I know I'm on the sell, but it is a good forum, and there's some great photographers there, and we've discussed some interesting issues. But I find that updating my website was just one of those things that I just went, oh, I don't know if I've got time for this today. And you multiply that by 300 days and you're a year behind in your website.
Yeah.
So slideshowpro.net is a great place to start that, and love to get your thoughts on that. But I suppose the thing that I wanted to talk about today, Bruce, if we can do that now, I don't know if you've got anything else you wanted to go on before we did.
Nope.
Was something that I've discovered in working with someone who's been an avid listener to this podcast, namely Richard.
Yeah.
And also I'm running photography workshops now quite regularly here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we're going to be expanding that nationwide. And we're even thinking of a U.S. tour, in all seriousness.
So, wow.
Yeah, yeah. The company I'm working with, Camera House and Camera Action here, who are organizing selling out. My workshops are selling out very, very quickly. They're saying, look, there's no reason with the connections we have that we couldn't do, you know, a U.S. tour. So if you find me on your shores, I hope to see you there. But I'm just basically running day workshops on photography, flash, and, you know, wedding photography, all sorts of topics we're coming up with. But I've been working with Richard, who knows the slogan, find the light and put him in it. You know, basically all day he was watching me do that. And he was saying, find the light and put him in it. There you go again, find the light. And then he'd take the bridesmaid and he'd go, right, excuse me, Shelton, I'm just taking Melissa here and I'm going to find the light and put her in it. Or as he says, I'm going to find the light and shove her in it.
Nice.
Good on you, mate. Nice. But, you know, there's something interesting about that because I teach that, and I could see the little lights going on all day on Saturday at Mont Silvat here in Victoria with people at my workshop basically going, oh, yeah, you know, that really does work. It's such a simple principle, but people get all the wrong idea of what makes a good photograph. And, of course, in the workshop that I teach on creative people photography, while I talk about perspective, depth of field, composition, all those kinds of basics, I hang a lot on the idea of finding the light and putting them in it. But the one thing we really haven't talked about is not only do you find the light and put them in it, but where do you put yourself You know, your right. subject is in a shaft of light, but that will affect them in different ways depending on where you are in relationship to them.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing watching Richard watch me and watching my students at my workshops. I will, for instance, on Saturday I had three models and it really worked out great. And I divided the group into three groups of four or five, each with a model, and I'd set them up. And I'd say, look, I want you to work in this area here with Rebecca. Group B, you're here with Elise. Work in this area. And I'd give each of them some suggestions. Group C, you're here with what was the other model's name? Melissa. You're here with her. You know, and I'll just, and all I did was circulate, you know, they were each, you know, say 50 meters apart from one another. And Montsalvat is such a fantastic place for photography. If ever you're down in Melbourne, mate, we're going to have to hire a model and do a shoot there together.
Awesome.
It's just such a great place that you can set these small groups up and the light in this place is awesome. But I would go around to each group and they were getting it. I could see they were slowly getting it that they would, okay, well, there's a beautiful window and there's a shaft of light. And then when I'd go away, they were working, I'd go away, fine, you're going to do some shoots there, I'll come back and see what you've worked on and how you've gone, go to the next group, come back. And I'd find that while they'd found the light and put the model in it, they hadn't necessarily placed themselves in the ultimate or the optimum position to make the most of that light.
Right.
Because that's the secondary part of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The model is in the right light, but are you in the right place in relationship to the subject and how the light is falling on the subject? And that's an interesting lesson to learn, and one that I hadn't really considered until stopping and looking at the fact that they were doing what I'd suggested them that they do, but not knowing where to put themselves.
Right.
And it was very, very interesting to watch, because naturally, if you've got a model standing in window light or a shaft of light coming from somewhere, how that person is lit depends on the direction of the light and where you are in relationship to that. For instance, if the model is backlit from where you stand, it's going to be a completely different look to how she would look if you were to circle round 180 degrees and photograph her from the other direction.
Yep.
Then she'd be front lit. And so it's not just a matter of finding the light and putting her in it. It's a case of putting yourself in the right place in relationship to that for the desired effect. And you know what? Both might work. They might both work, but not necessarily, you know, to the degree that one will work. One might work better than the other, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And it was very, very interesting to watch. And I know that that's something that Richard has taken away with him. As I watched the group, for instance, they had Elise. There's an old church at Montsalvat, a beautiful window light. And I came back, and they'd moved Elise into the church. And Elise is this striking blonde model. She's gorgeous. She has beautiful blonde hair. And they put her in window light, and they'd got her up nice and close. And then they'd use the reflector, as I'd taught them to, and all the rest of it. And then they said to me, but you know what? We can't do, Shelton. We can't seem to get a very nice. You were teaching us how to do this rim lighting with her hair. Can you put her in the right place so that, you know, she's rim lit, you know? And I realized that they didn't know how to do that. And that's that they'd found the light, they had the model, but they didn't know how to get the effect that they wanted from that light.
Right.
So I said, okay, and I asked Elise to stand up away from the window, and I pulled her away from the window. Their problem was they were using the window as a backdrop, and it's a big bright light source. So they weren't getting the effect. I got her up, I pulled her, and I brought her 45 degrees diagonally across so that behind her was a black, dark, church wall. But the light from the window was still hitting her. And I said, okay, so now she's set up against a dark wall. You've got the light from the window, but where do you put yourself? Now, because they were a group of half a dozen people or whatever, they were all just vying for a shot. You know, because they're all sort of in a group and, you know, wherever I can stand, I'll take the picture. And this is a major mistake because I actually said, look, to be honest with you, what each of you want to do is stand right here. And if you come and stand where I'm standing, you can see that Elise is beautifully rim lit. We'll get a reflector up underneath her to put light back into her face. But she's beautifully rim lit and you have to really stand right here in order to get that effect. But because, you know, others were joining now. I got the groups back together at the end and they could all see what we were doing inside this church. They were all vying for this shot, but basically settling in many cases for where they stood rather than waiting their turn and standing in the position that I'd suggested. So either it was a case of they couldn't see what I was seeing and settled for where they were, thinking, oh, well, that's nice, you know, I'll photograph that. Or whether it was a case of, well, I disagree with Shelton, I like it more from this angle, and that would be perfectly fine. That's, you know, I'm not the be-all and end-all here. I haven't got the monopoly on great photo angles. But I think in some cases it was just a case of, oh, I'm not going to wait to stand in that position. I'll just photograph it from here. I'll settle. But the effect that they'd asked me for could only really be achieved from one angle.
Right.
And that was the angle that you know, or you know, maybe a foot to my left, a foot to my right. But it was the angle that was the only angle that would achieve her standing out against a dark background, rim lit, and, you know, photographed from a pleasing angle. It was only one place. So what it meant was that they needed to learn the relationship between the light, the nature of the light and its direction, the subject and how that subject is standing, posing, etc., in that light. And then where they put themselves in relationship to both those things. Because if you were to move around 6 feet to my left, 6 feet to my right, or circle round, you know, 90 degrees or whatever, then the photograph is completely different. The backdrop changes in a place like a church or any indoor location, outdoor location. The background will change. Then how the light strikes the subject also appears to be different, even though neither has moved. You've changed your relationship to it, and so it will look completely different. Suddenly a backlit model, if you're getting her to turn in your direction, is suddenly becoming now a side-lit model as you go around to your right or your left. Then, of course, if you keep circling round, she's going to become a front-lit model, you know, if she follows you with her face as you move around. Now, that's a good thing. It's a great lesson to learn, but don't settle. You know, the whole lesson of find the light and put him in it has that secondary aspect, you know, of it, that you have to be in the right place to make that light work in relationship to that subject. And it's something that, as I've only learned to teach myself, because I've taken it for granted that if you understood to find the light and put him in it, that you would understand from that lesson what you do next. And that is your relationship to the model and how that bears upon her relationship or him, her, their relationship or his relationship to the shaft of light or the direction or nature of the light. And so basically, I think if I was going to say anything in this particular podcast that was of any educational merit, it would be that. It's not just about find the light and put him in it. That is a nice little slogan. And I think it's, if anything, is the Shutters Inc. slogan. It's that. But now concentrate on where you are in relationship to both those things. And I think, again, it will just put a whole new tweak on your photography. We've said often it's not about the subject, it's not about the context, it's about the light, and everything else falls. You can take the ugliest thing and put it into a shaft of light or a kind of light, and it will be beautiful, but only if you put yourself in the proper relationship to it. I think of that famous black and white photograph that Man Ray took of a red pepper or a green pepper. It's a black and white photo, so I don't know.
Right.
I can't remember. But it's one of the most ubiquitous things. It's a green pepper, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome photograph, simply because he's lit the thing fabulously.
Right.
And so find the light and put him in it is classic, but where you are in relationship to both those things is just as important and can make the difference, can make or break your photograph like that, you know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this for a little while and email me about it, because you may find that in between here and the next time you know we're on air again, we do this next podcast, you've got an opportunity to think about that. If not, make the opportunity, grab someone, find the light, put them in it, and then circle round and take a series of photographs and look at how the light changes depending on your relationship to both those things. Try it as an experiment, and I think you'll find that it really does, you know, work. I know Richard found that to be the case. And Richard, I want you to email us to tell us what you've personally found, if possible, that we can read in our podcast next week.
Mm.
And even if you've got some images to post on Shutters Inc. Flickr site, you know, wherein you've done that, let us see them, because it's an excellent lesson. It's the next lesson that makes sense to me after find the light and put them in it. That's the next logical lesson for, you know, that process. And it's a vital and important process. Richard was on a wedding with my good friend Greg Bayer, who's a photographer I've trained and has since become, thankfully, very successful in his own right. He's a brilliant photographer. And he said that all day following Greg around, he heard me, because Greg just rips off all my funny lines.
Right.
But all he saw Greg doing all day was finding the light and putting him in it.
Yeah.
But Greg is one of these, I think, rare photographers who really understands that and what it means, and also knows where to put himself in relationship to that. I never had to teach him that. But working with the group last Saturday, I realized that that's something that I've got to learn to include in that slogan.
Yeah,
it really
right.
does make all the difference.
Mm. I happened to notice on one of those images that you posted in the Flickr group that you're now shooting with a D300.
I have on loan from Nikon the D300, and I've sent Nikon Australia an email basically titled "You are in trouble." Because I have your
subtitled,
camera.
Subtitled, "You're not getting the camera back."
You might not get this thing back. Depending on, let's put it this way, you have a camera I want, I have Australia's highest circulation photography magazine. Surely there's something we can do here, gentlemen. Surely.
Fantastic.
But the D300, in working with it, is everything that the reviews are saying that it is.
Right.
I was at a wedding again, and Richard will vouch for this because he was there. I swapped cameras. I was only using the D300 for the odd shot here and there and to have a bit of a look at it, but I was at a wedding last Thursday with Richard again, and the venue where the ceremony was being held was very dark. I didn't want to use flash for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, the D300 has been known to have excellent noise and, you know, low noise capacity.
Yeah.
So I put it on, I think, 1250 ISO.
Wow.
I thought, well, it'll be better than the D200. It still won't be good, but, you know, what can I do? I threw my 85 1.8 on, and I shot the ceremony. The bride was beautifully lit by a window coming through, and it was lovely light. I didn't want to interrupt it with flash, because it's a horrible thing to use lighting-wise unless it's off-camera. And it's also very intrusive and just wrong. And then I got the photographs home, and I'm pulling them up in Photoshop, and I'm pulling them up, and I'm pulling them up, and I said, where the hell is the noise? And at that ISO rating, I could not until I got really close, see anything that resembled noise. I thought, that is fantastic. And they really are absolutely right about the low noise levels, not just on the D3, which has an FX-sized or 35mm size sensor, but even on the D300, the CMOS sensor has made all the difference. And the low noise capacity on this thing is absolutely fantastic. There's a bit of a difference in how it renders color because it's a CMOS sensor, but it does have beautiful skin tones, excellent dynamic range, fantastic focusing because it's both color related and whatever else they use. And the skin tones on it are excellent. Basically, one suggestion from a fellow D300 user was that you go to neutral and +1 or +2 in saturation in your color mode. And it just gives you the most beautiful skin tones. And I would agree. It really is a beautiful camera. I have a feeling they are going to have a hard time getting it back. My D200 has really seriously worked very hard, and it's starting to show signs of how hard it's worked. Time for me to get a new one anyway, but it really is a spectacular camera. And this is now, far be it for me to forget this. How could I forget? When I first got my Tamron 183.5, I was in love with it. Fell in love with it, and it's still a great lens. But the other day I walked into a store that sells secondhand items. I was just killing some time, and guess what they had on the shelf? They had a Nikkor 182.8 IFED autofocus lens.
Right.
And at too good a price.
Okay.
So I just bought me the thing, and I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore this lens. And my new baby, as you know, I live in my 85 1.8, and here's the interesting thing. There were people who turned up at my my workshop on Saturday, and I was talking about this, and then, you know, during the shoot in the afternoon, three or four of them pull out 85mm lenses.
Yeah, right.
And I realized that some of them are actually these, you know, podcast listeners, and they turned up for the workshop and didn't tell me that they knew me from the podcast.
Right.
But they had 85mm lenses. Hello, Peter, by the way, if you're listening. Pulls out an 85mm 1.8 lens. I'm like, good on you, mate. That's fantastic. So they knew exactly where I was coming from, and they had the thing all ready to go. And, of course, I say, well, hang on, meet my new best friend, my 180mm 2.8. The interesting thing about prime lenses, people just, you know, often when they're the neophyte photographer who's used to using, you know, zoom lenses, finds the whole concept of a prime lens really hard to understand. You know, a lens that doesn't zoom in and out. But
yeah.
What? It's fixed? That's it?
Yeah.
But I described it as a good pair of slippers. I said, tonight, when I finish with you guys, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get into my dressing gown, a remote control, and a pair of slippers. And you know what? I said, a prime lens is like a pair of slippers because they're just so comfortable. They fit your feet and there you are.
Yep.
And a prime lens, I put it on and I know exactly how it's going to see. I know how it's going to look and I can predict that in my head. I know where I've got to stand and it's so comfortable.
Yeah, right.
And so many of them who were borrowing both my 85 and my 180 during the day found that to be the case. So there's my new best friend. I've got the D300 I'm borrowing and my 180 2.8 Nikkor, which I must admit I've absolutely fallen in love with. It's much smaller than the Tamron. Much smaller than my 80 to 200 2.8, sharp as get out.
Yeah.
And absolutely beautiful in terms of bokeh and compression. Oh, love it.
Sweet.
Love it. So if you've got a 180 2.8 yourself and you agree, let me know what you think. But I must admit, I do love mine. Absolutely love it. And those who borrowed it during the day, you know, felt the same way. So,
fantastic. You know,
there's my new best friend you'll be hearing about in the podcast.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. No worries. My pleasure. Well, come on down. I will be looking for more Shutters Inc. listeners on 5minutephotographer.com. We've got some video tutorials loaded there. Articles are loaded up. Our forum is happening. I hope you don't mind coming down and joining us there. It's not expensive, and you'll have unlimited access to me.
Beautiful.
Not that that's a big turn on, but I just want to throw that in.
Excellent. All right, mate, we will talk with you next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. And hey, welcome back. Good to have you back in the land down under, buddy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
No worries. Yeah, I can imagine.
All right, until next week, take care.
You too, mate.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.